If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to episode 131 of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast. We are here again for another edition of some beautiful baseball talk. I am finally back from Budapest, first time in Europe. It was awesome. Got to see one of my best friends, Juliet, who's living out there, and just explore around and meet a new listener of this podcast, which I'll get into in a second. But I am joined, as always, by Brian and Adam. Brian, how's it going?
Man, dude, it's just wonderful. Like, we get to sit back and think of, like, next year we're going to get to see stars in the MLB like Aaron Judge hit home runs in Sacramento.
Can't wait.
The A's. They're going to be cityless.
Yep.
Yeah, man, it doesn't get better than that, but I also got to go to the Giants home opener on Friday. I went to the game again on Saturday, played softball today. I'm pretty baseballed out. I got to see all results. I got to see a walk-off win on Friday, a 4-0 loss yesterday, and then a tie in softball, which is the worst result. But other than that, I'm wonderful. How about you, Adam?
I'm, you know, great. Also pumped for the cityless A's. God, what an absolute failing of the MLB. yeah, just a good full week of baseball. You love it. It's full swing, everybody playing, and plenty to talk about.
Noah, did you say we got a new listener?
We do have a new listener. As I was waiting for my flight in San Francisco, I messaged in the Discord both of you that sitting across from me was a guy in a blue Mets jersey and a matching blue Mets hat. And all I could think about was all the, it's all about the Mets, baby, the memes and stuff like that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm here really early. Might as well start a conversation with this person. He's obviously a big Mets fan. I was thinking he just came from spring training or something like that. So I'm like, oh, you're excited about JD Martinez? And then what responded to me was not what I expected at all. It was a French accent. And he didn't know that. He did not know that they had signed JD Martinez. So I was like, oh, maybe, I don't know, it's just like a fashion thing. But we start talking. He's like a proper sicko. He watches every game, but he just like, doesn't follow any of the news, so he could watch the replays without being spoiled anything. So he just basically gets the news when he's watching the games and they say it on the broadcast. And I was like, that's so interesting.
Wait, that's a true like game watching sicko right there. Like,
yeah,
completely
no.
abstaining from news to watch a pure to watch pure games only is wild. I love that.
And to be clear, sicko, term of absolute endearment.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
We are all sickos.
We're all sickos here. But no, yeah. And it's funny because you're just kind of I was talking to him, feeling out a little bit more and more. He's a super cool guy. He's worked in like video games, met Hideo Kojima. And I was like, what the heck? Ooh. And then at one point we're talking, I was like, well, who's some of your favorite guys? He was like, well, obviously like Pete and like Lindor. He's like, but I really like DJ Stewart too. And then I was like, okay, this guy is watching every game. He just talked about how he really kind of tried to, you know, about 10 years ago and fell out of it. And then a few years ago, he just fell in love with that Mets broadcast, which we highlight on this podcast. This podcast is just a fun little thing that we do, but I was like, I don't know, I'm never going to see this guy again, but we had a good connection. So I was like, I do a podcast, and he was so excited.
That's
fun. So he was like, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to listen. So shout out Greg, if you're watching, you could send us a message, Twitter, Instagram at NonstopBBPod. Let's keep in touch. And as I was like, what's the French baseball community like? And he was like, there's no baseball.
There isn't one.
So that was funny. It was just awesome.
Similar to the fan base of the A's right now.
Yeah, well, oof. You want to say rough start of the year for DJ Stewart. I looked it up. I was like, how's he doing? He's not gotten a hit yet. But he's got four walks. Sometimes. Sweet on base.
Hey, he's seen the ball good.
375 on base. We take that. Not bad at all.
Do you know what? But that's like the sign of a true fan, because like we all have those players that aren't superstars, but we just continually highlight on our own team.
Oh, 100%.
Like, for me, it's Tyro Estrada. Tyro Estrada, like, I was talking to Noah. I was like, I can't believe this guy's not higher on the top 10 second baseman. And then I was looking through it. I was like, yeah, he really isn't. But like, I love Tyro. And he had the huge walk-off hit on Friday.
I mean, that was
like, he is a stud.
I mean, that's like me. Like, what was it for like 2 years with Julian Merriweather? I was like, this dude's incredible. He's got the best stuff. He's so good. And he's just not.
And we were just like,
he's just never figured it out. He just never fully like settled, not even on the Jays anymore. Still love him.
We were already the number one Joe Panic podcast. Now we're the number one DJ Stewart podcast.
Absolutely.
As well. We're taking that mantle. Before we get started with the big, like, actual stuff that happened in baseball games news, do we want to get to what we've already talked about?
We might as well.
About former Oakland A's legends,
legend, the Oakland A's.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, the A's are just, it's sad to see. It really is. Like, they haven't even, like, they are moving to Sacramento to prepare to moving to Vegas, and there's currently no like concrete plans to build a stadium in Vegas.
Yeah. It's
like, that is insane.
It's also just, I mean, it's a failing on so many levels. The fact that the city of Oakland was willing to keep them in the Coliseum in the interim and they rejected it, and the difference in like money was negligible. The fact that Sacramento's stadium, not even the A's minor league team, it's a Giants minor league AAA team. The fact that Vegas stadium deal, like, there's no plans yet, nothing set in stone. They haven't even started on it. It's the fact that this wasn't shot down by Manfred or by literally anybody with like a brain is staggering and just really sad.
And something I read is like, the Sacramento is a minor league stadium. There is things that MLB Players Association has negotiated for that are like required in major league ballparks,
which
like the renovations are going to be major.
Yeah. They have a year to do that. Like, they do have some time to bring it up to the minimum viable product for major league use. But yeah, it does not have most amenities, and people already thought the Coliseum sucked. It's going to be a rough time playing the A's.
One thing I will say, it's a beautiful
park. It is a gorgeous park.
It really is. It has a beautiful skyline. Like, you see the bridge. You can see, like, some of the city. Like, it's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah,
it holds 12,000 people.
It only needs to hold, like, 3,000, to be fair, to host an A's home game.
We'll see. I mean, Sacramento might be excited. Like, think about it. Like, if we lived in Sacramento and a team just moved there, like, we'd be going to some games.
Sure. And it is like, in a really it's in a good part of Sacramento.
This is your like audition as the city of Sacramento, like, which has not been really thrown around as an expansion location. This
expansion is coming.
But if you can, you know, be selling that out on a regular basis for the Oakland A's, you're all of a sudden
the Athletics,
the A's.
The A's.
Dude, you want to know something funny about that? So the last dive bar, which if you follow the A's is like, I guess like a leader of a fan group. It's a bar nearby the stadium, and they sell the shirts that say sell, and they sell the little bracelets and all that stuff. The last dive bar have purchased the trademarks for the Las Vegas A's and the Las Vegas Athletics, which is just hilarious.
Also, there's been some other conspiracies And I wanted to shout out The Last Dive Bar. Obviously, their more recent work is being like kind of anti-ownership, but they've done like a long history of working with the A's for a long time and doing just great community work for the fans and just doing other stuff in the Oakland community. But Esturi Reese, who was recently sent down, was often seen wearing a Last Dive Bar bracelet in support of that group. And there's some conspiracies around that because other players that were wearing it were either traded, released, sent down, things like that. I mean, so,
Brent Rooker, their lone all-star from last year, was benched. He was seen wearing them. Like, it's very conspiracy, but like, man, Ruiz getting sent down. Did we talk about that in the pod last week? Was that a last week thing? Dude.
No.
That is insane. He had like, what, 60 stolen bases last year? Like something crazy high.
57, and he like was injured a lot. And also to start this year, he was on my fantasy team.
On a tear.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play a ton, but when he was in the lineup, he was getting on base, stealing bases. I mean, I think he had the highest OPS on his team. And it was just...
And, like, and I saw like, something...
Especially you're the A's. You're the A's.
I also just, like...
On the major league level.
Yeah, it's just... It's a dumb move, and also just, like, the reasoning given was so bad. So... Like, he had a pretty fine spring training. He started off the regular season well. This was the reason that the A's basically gave was cutting down on strikeouts and getting on base are things we talked to him about all last season. The dude, well, you gave him a whopping 3 games to start the season. He struck out once.
Yeah.
His on base, 375.
I mean, like, one thing that
he was
fine.
Like, it's just so dumb.
One thing that's fair to note, though. Sorry, I keep talking over you there. But one thing that's really important to note is like his performance last year with the bat was not ideal. And if he was on a more talented roster, more than likely he would have started this year in AAA. Now he's on the A's.
Wait, his
he is one of their
his performance with the bat last year was good.
I mean
let's pull it. When you factor in the steals,
Esturi Ruiz?
Yeah, Ruiz, I mean, his stolen bases was a heavy part of his value.
Yeah, he had over a 9 OPS.
No, he did not. He had a 654.
No, he didn't. He had a 654 OPS.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're looking
at. Am I looking
right
at
there,
his
but...
minor league stats? Where am I at?
Rings. Yeah.
Maybe, but 132 games last year, 654 OPS.
At... Oh, is it sorted average. Spring training? Yeah, it was.
He had 67 stolen bases last year.
You're right.
So, yeah, oh, he had 57 like, net stolen bases.
Yeah.
I'm on the
fantasy. We're all on different stat pages.
Yeah. So I'm very confused by everything.
Yeah, I was like,
67 stolen bases, 654 OPS. So like he definitely flashed, and when he got on base, he was a problem. Now you need him to get on base more. A 309 on base percentage for a guy with no power, you want to see that higher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he was on a talented roster, it wouldn't have been crazy to see him starting in the minors, but he's on the A's. Like, he's definitely one of their top players. Like, he's definitely good enough to make their lineup, and still a shock that he got sent down. But like, for development purposes, I don't know, I don't hate it. But this has been like, we've seen the A's over our lifetime rebuild and then sell off, rebuild, sell off, and it's kind of worked for them a lot in the past 20 years. This current iteration of sell-off, I mean, Ruiz is really the only prospect you have that you got in all those trades.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Langoliers that defensively is good, but their trading away for prospects did not go as successful. It's still early. Some of them could still develop. But really focusing on Ruiz developing his bat is probably good for the future, but like, it also just feels like it's just, we don't want to compete. I don't know.
And yet, maybe to shift some of the attention off the A's being bad, not the most disappointing start to the season, like, for a team, because, like, the Marlins started 0-9.
And I don't know. I saw that the A's make 5 errors against the Red Sox.
Look,
the A's lead the league in errors.
Don't get me wrong. Like, it's been bad for the A's, but they've still scraped up a couple of wins. The Marlins finally got a win today. for their first win of the year.
On a game that actually started yesterday. They were winning 10-1 yesterday, and it rained out in the bottom of the ninth.
Yep.
And they carried it over to today. Wild. It was like the baseball gods just do not want the Marlins to win.
Yeah, but I mean, the Marlins have been terrible. The Rockies have been terrible. Granted, we expected the Rockies to be bad. So have the White Sox. They've also been really bad. Also expected them to be bad.
Let's get this a little more upbeat, though. Let's talk about the teams we thought were going to be trash that are good, a.k.a. the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Not me, baby.
Dude, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they are on fire to start the year. O'Neill Cruz looks like a star. They traded for my boy Joey Bart, who's already launched a home run and hit a double one game. I mean, Joey Bart's going to be a stud for the Pirates, and it's going to hurt. I mean,
Giants fans pleading for Joey Bart to hit a home run. The monkey's paw curls.
he does it for a different team. I mean, there was just not a spot on him up for this current Giants team out of options. Like, he had plenty of chances, never got. He got called up early, forced into action on a bad team, and never got going. So, I mean, I think every Giant fan wants to see Joey Bart be successful, and it being for the Pirates, like, that's okay. Like, yep. It's better than it being for someone you play more often. But Brian Reynolds, another ex-Giant, Brian Reynolds isn't off to the best start, but just a solid veteran lineup in that bat. I don't know. Do you think the Pirates can stick around?
I mean, it depends, right? Like, we saw the Pirates have an incredible run last year as well, where they looked like they could do no wrong. It looked like all the energy was there with the young guys, and then it just sort of petered off, plus injuries. You know, if they can stay healthy, of course, that's the question with every team, always, forever, then sure. But they've also just got to actually be consistent. It's a long season. It's as impressive as it is to start off 8-2. You gotta keep up that kind of winning.
Yeah, we gotta highlight Jared Jones too, the rookie pitcher for them, who's just pumping absolute heat. He started 2 games. He's gone 11 2/3 innings pitch and has 17 strikeouts in that span. His whip's a .9. Like, the dude's off to a really good start for a rookie. He's settling in nicely, and they also have their top pick, Paul Skenes, in AAA, dominating, knocking at the door. So, I mean, if Jared Jones can keep building off this, you call up Paul Skenes, you have Martin Perez, all of a sudden your rotation's looking a little more complete. I mean, you still got Mitch Keller, Perez too.
Perez and Gonzalez, the veterans they added, off to a very solid start for them. And then, Skenes is coming up. That just, it seems like service time stuff. He's just absolutely just striking out everyone at AAA right now. Jared Jones is really promising, and you could have a, you know, not an elite starting five, but a really solid starting five. And I think they traded away some pitching and stuff like that. I think they're feeling really comfortable with where they're at pitching wise and some of the other prospects they have. This is, as I mentioned in our predictions, this is also an offense that I feel like is not great, but has solid pieces throughout. Jack Sawinski hasn't even hit yet, and he's been a really solid bat in recent years. And Ke'Bryan Hayes is maybe having that full breakout. Last year he was, hopefully, you know, just above league average, and this year to start, he's, you know, at a 122 OPS plus, which is huge for him. And Brian Reynolds is just doing what he always does and being a really solid ball player.
Michael Taylor's also off to a really hot year. That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Michael A. Taylor, that is. Has a .429 average, .974 OPS. I mean, it's only been like, what, 2 weeks?
So yeah.
Don't read too far into it. Anything can happen. But, I mean, the Pirates have been really good early on. We'll see if they can stay. Another team that's been really good early on is the Cleveland Guardians. I need to mention them as a resident Guardians fan. Some bit of tough news, though. Shane Bieber, who was looking like an ace again, is going to undergo Tommy John surgery, ending his season, entering his free agent year too. It's just, man, you really hate to see it. Shane Bieber, like, when he's at his best, he's top five pitcher in baseball when he's at his best. I mean, this year to start the year, 12 innings pitched, 20 strikeouts. That's nasty. One walk, like, he was electric. I mean, the Guardians are going to be struggling for starting pitching because Gavin Williams, one of their other top prospects, he's out right now. He looked really good last year, so Man, it really sucks for the team and the player, Shane Bieber going down. I hate to see it, but Stephen Kwan, hey, guess what?
Not overrated.
Guess what? Not overrated. He is a stud.
Yeah.
349 average. Just getting on base, doing what he does. I mean, big Stephen Kwan fan. I think us as a pod all think he's overrated. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
No, underrated, bro.
Under.
And then Jimenez also, you know, Kwan and Jimenez both had really step back years last year, returning to solid form to start. And like, you know, with Jose Ramirez still not hitting yet, you're starting to really have some good thoughts as Guardians fans. And then the Bieber news is just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, a couple of big Tommy so yeah, we'll John see. Already with Bieber going down and Yuri Perez for the Marlins also going down.
Who else
for
went down? Someone else, Spencer Strider.
Well, Strider's down with elbow stuff, but it's not confirmed Tommy John yet.
It's likely.
But it is
they
likely.
Say it's likely.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think this is a good point to kind of sidetrack and talk about this, because there's a lot of people debating what is causing the uptick we've seen in the last year or two.
Yep.
Some people say pitch clock. Some people say getting rid of the sticky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where I personally
neither.
Sit.
I don't think the sticky stuff is the culprit.
I mean, so Glasnow was talking about this on a podcast where, like, he really thinks part of the reason he had to get Tommy John was because of the lack of sticky stuff. It's just like you're gripping the ball so much harder.
I think that's part of it, but I think sticky stuff is tangentially part of it. I think the probable culprit in my mind is the obsession with spin rate.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. We've seen a massive uptick in breaking balls. And that goes into what you're saying.
I think that the obsession with absolutely maximizing effective spin rate on pitches, what it's doing is you're analytically pushing that boundary on breaking balls and on pitches that have that kind of forced spin, and the strain that puts on every single pitch that you throw, because every single pitch you throw, you do have to grip it tighter. You have to move your wrist in a certain way, especially when you're doing pitches that break arm side. Because the way that flips your arm coming down on the inside of the ball, it just wreaks absolute havoc on your elbow. I think that because that is the obsession, and because I have no doubt coaching staffs are saying, do this, do all of these things to make your pitches spin more, that I don't think people's elbows have caught up at all. And I don't know if they will.
I mean, the human body is only meant to be used in certain ways.
It can really only go so far. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think that the lack of sticky stuff, because having that kind of tackiness makes getting those results easier, right? And I think pitch clock, which was the other thing, I don't think those are strictly culprits, but they compound the problem.
I think both of them together at the same time.
Right. Well, because I think it's that additional effort to throw pitches that way is the core problem. And then taking away one of the ways to get that result makes it worse. And just shaving down the time between pitches just kind of compounds, like you're just rest between pitches.
Yeah, just kind of constant stress on your elbow.
Yeah.
I almost wonder, like, why can't there be like a more like just like a approved sticky stuff that's like not too sticky, and like if you want to use it, this is the only thing you can use.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the MLB definitely needs to play around with some like different ideas, because having this many pitchers, starting pitchers hurt, is just bad for baseball.
Right.
Like,
I think we need to see
these guys out there.
I think the MLB is at odds with the fact that anything that they do that is sort of a official MLB approved make pitchers better goes at odds with them wanting more offense. And I feel like, but I wonder if, but kind of to your what you're saying, right? We got to stop injuries. At some point, the injury problem is worse than the offensive downtick.
Honestly, an underrated era of baseball, the sticky stuff and juiced balls combo.
Yeah, low key power versus cooking. Power.
Low
power
key was
versus
cooking.
Power, baby. 100%.
Like, I know we wanted that stuff gone, but now that they're both gone, it's kind of like, hey, there was something about it.
Hey, yeah. I mean, pitcher's dominating, but if a hitter gets a hold of one, they get a hold of one.
Yeah, man. It was a fun era. We're going to look back on it and be like, that was a cool couple years. Like, in the moment, it was like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't hate it. Let's see. What other team that's off to a hot start? The Detroit Tigers.
I would debate as a hot start. They are 6-3. The Tigers have grounded out all of their one run wins. Is the biggest thing. The Tigers are winning games when they need to win games, which, don't get me wrong, you gotta do. But the fact that, you know, they've played 10 games, 5 of them have been one run games. They've won 4 of those. Impressive, because still wins. But yeah, they have been playing teams closer than a lot of the other sort of top of their division dominant teams like the, you know, Pirates right now, but Braves, Rangers,
I mean,
stuff.
Dude, when we look at the Tigers, though, they're getting like nothing from their offense.
Yeah,
they have like Mark Canna has an 853 OPS. Gio Urshela has an 800, which is like two names that are like
wild.
Wow, they're on the Tigers.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody's kind of, dude, Javi Baez, he has a 300 OPS. Like, we need to have a conversation. Like,
Baez, that's
do they
bad.
Just
your
do
OPS, man.
That
that's a late lunch OPS. That's not good.
Late lunch.
Oh, yeah. That's
three,
real
that's
late
a 3
lunch.
O'clock. That's a late lunch OPS. That is bad.
Oh, that's like a very judgmental dinner. Like, I am judging someone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
like my parents will be like, oh, we ate dinner at 4. And I'll be like, what?
What is wrong with you?
And like, I feel like one day they'll
people aren't home from
3.
Work yet, dude.
Yeah. But yeah, Tigers, I mean, you got to shout out their pitching, though. Like, that's a huge part of winning those one-run games. Skubal is electric. 0.7 whip, 15 Ks and 12 innings pitched. That's nice. Even Jack Flaherty, I mean, he's given up some runs, but he's out there.
Yeah. That's I don't know if that's a positive thing. But he's out there,
he's
cooking. I mean, the Tigers have no one really sticking out, and they're 6-3. Maybe that means they're not as for real as they look, but
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're
grinding out the wins.
They're grinding out one run wins, and those count.
Yeah. Well, they're another good team we need to talk about that's doing better than at least I thought. I think we all put them pretty low. We have to bring up Noah's team, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
7-3, man. Start. They're off to a hot start. You want to break it down for us, Noah? You're the Red Sox fan.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Andrew Bailey, I mean, lowest ERA in baseball. Yeah. Andrew Bailey, which is working wonders. Though, you know, since I've been back, I've been able to watch a little bit more, especially with them being on the West Coast. Nick Pivetta looks legit. Really loving watching him pitch. Tanner Houck is looking really promising. And then obviously the numbers aren't bad for Crawford and Whitlock, but both of them, I mean, Crawford, I think, could be a really solid just five and dive guy. Whitlock has a player that I've always loved throughout the years. I have just not enjoyed watching him pitch this year as a starter. It's just very laborious. I don't think it's going to work out well necessarily long term with him, so we'll see what happens with that. But just it's been Tyler O'Neill really and Jaron Duran carrying this team. Jaron Duran picking up exactly where he left off, just being an absolute menace. I think in Oakland in the first 3 innings of, I think it was game 1, 3 hits, 3 stolen bases, 898 OPS, and Tyler O'Neill best OPS in baseball. And, you know, obviously this is, of course, a hot start for Tyler O'Neill, but last time he was healthy, he was like a top 5 MVP candidate, you know, like He was incredible. So it'll be interesting to see where it ends up. Reese McGuire's off to a super hot start. So yeah, I am obviously very happy and excited, and I think overall this pitching is going to be pretty solid, hopefully. I think Andrew Bailey's going to continue working with them and get the absolute best out of them. As kind of Adam was hinting at earlier, maybe with risk of injury, because they're hardly throwing any four-seam fastballs. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, and I mean, Casas and Devers really haven't gotten going yet. So offense would be great, but just, yeah, Yoshida as well. But really, it's just a little tough because of the Trevor Story stuff that happened recently. I was watching it live. He started to get some big hits too, but was just so awesome defensively. And I think part of it is because I went obviously shortstop was just a nightmare last year for the Red Sox. And then pretty much my entire time where I was able to watch the Red Sox every day, it was Xander Bogaerts before that, who is a shortstop who's solid and makes the plays that he's supposed to make, but is not Trevor Story by any means.
But he's now a second baseman.
Yeah. Trevor Story was just making these amazing plays, and it just felt so good to have him out there defensively. And I was also like, you know, very quiet, but has been a leader of this team. I mean, had that like fielding camp that he hosted with a bunch of the young players. And you could just tell that like he is super loved on this team. And that seeing him, you know, dislocate his shoulder was just so brutal for this team and just really shell-shocked him for a bit. Obviously, they came back and won today, Sunday. But, yeah, that's just brutal because, I mean, you know, as frustrating as it is as a fan, it's like, for me, you know, there's other fans that are going to be mad at him. It's, like, hard for me to be mad at him because it's, like, all he's done is work really hard and grind out when he's on the field and try and get back. It's just like he's just had really horrible luck. So
I've never understood people who get mad at on field or in training injuries. This is not like, yeah, man, I was riding my dirt bike in between games and I crashed. Okay, be mad at that guy. But like, dude's going all out to make a play and it goes poorly. Like, dude,
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened to Tatis like what, 5 times? Like, it felt like it was every other week for a little bit there.
Yeah. You can't be mad at that. It's unlucky. Yeah. But.
Yeah. And still not like a final word on what it is. They're going to, when they get back to Boston, have their doctors look at it. Right now, all they're saying it was a dislocation. I don't know if there's any sort of tear and anything yet, but yeah, just brutal because he was obviously the OPS when you look at it wasn't there, but starting to come around offensively and was just amazing defensively for them. So really big blow, but I mean, you can't hate. I mean, you got the West Coast trip out of the way to start and you ended it 7-3.
Yep.
So that's phenomenal. I think you'll only go back out west like once more this year. So yeah, that's a great way to start the season. Look like they're going to be competitive. And let's just, you know, keep it up and see what the pitching does. But as I kind of got at, there's a lot of stuff where I see a little bit that it's not as solid as the record appears. But, you know, it's going to be a fun team to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the Oakland A's isn't the most impressive team to beat.
Yeah,
but no, you gotta beat still them. Props. Like, I mean, yeah, you got to beat them, and winning the easy games oftentimes separates the good teams and the rough teams.
Yeah.
Like, the big difference. Next, I think we should talk about probably the best starting pitcher in baseball so far. I kind of wonder if either of you guys have a guess where I'm going with this one.
Could be a few people.
I'm going to go with Ronel Blanco.
Oh, yeah.
30-year pitcher for the Astros.
Could definitely go with that one.
An absolute stud so far. He's pitched 2 games. One was a no-hitter, 9 innings.
Yeah.
And then today he went 6 innings with 1 hit. He's given up one hit over 15 innings of baseball. That's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, the six walks in 15 innings with 11 strikeouts. Bad. I mean, the six walks, it's not that bad. It's not, obviously, it's not ideal, but it's not end of the story, especially when you're only giving up one hit. Like, seven base runners over 15 innings pitched. There's not a coach in baseball that won't take that.
Yeah.
So, but shout out Blanco. I mean, he's 30 years old, kind of got a late breakout in the MLB, pitched a lot last year, kind of cemented himself in that rotation for the Astros right now. And I mean, like I said, there's definitely a case he's the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Yeah. I mean, the Astros need it. They've struggled. Funny enough.
And that's crazy too.
The Astros are have no wins when their opponent scores a run. So that's the current
two of those
stat.
Wins are Blanco pitching. So yeah. They've won one game when Blanco doesn't pitch.
Yeah. So. It's been a rough time for the Astros. But yeah, he has had a really good start though.
No. That's wonderful. And I mean the Astros rough start, like that's one of the few teams like I'm not even that worried about. And like their hitting is hitting. That's the crazy part. Like they have, I'm looking at six guys with the OPS over 800 right now. They're pitching, they're just getting slapped around a lot. And it's specifically their bullpen. I mean,
yes.
Josh Hader.
Yeah, Josh Hader's ERA is a 7.2 right now. Presley's a 14. Abreu's a 10. Everybody in the back end of their bullpen has a 7 ERA or higher. That's not how you win games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they invested a lot of money there, so hopefully it starts getting better for the Astros at some point.
Got it, right? Yeah, I was thinking maybe one of the other names of pitchers who's been off to an incredible start, Shota Imanaga, man.
Yeah.
For the
He's
Cubs,
fun to watch.
not just has like had a really really solid start in his first couple of starts, but like, dude, the energy that he is bringing. That dude was fist pumping, screaming in his first game. I love it.
I mean, he came out with his press conference singing "Go Cubs, Go."
Yeah.
So this dude should have known then.
We should have known. He has been absolutely awesome to watch. Love it for the Cubs. Just good stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely looked electric. Let's see, is there any other starters we need to highlight?
Yamamoto coming back after his opening day blow up. Two really solid starts, most recent one, nice 8 strikeout performance against the Cubs. And on the other side of things, perhaps a little bit of walk year jitters. Max Fried off to a incredibly slow start. Didn't even get out of the first inning in his opening day start. And then most recently, yesterday, went 4 1/3 and gave up 7 earned runs against the Diamondbacks. So definitely an alarming start for Max Fried, though. I'm not too worried yet, personally.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of veteran pitchers on rough starts. A couple of them on the Jays. Jays have had a very, very rocky start to the season. Your current aces for Toronto are Berrios and Kikuchi. And Kikuchi's not had nearly the longevity in games because he still racks up pitch count. But Gausman's first couple of starts are real rough, as have Bassett's. Bassett's most recent start, he struggled a little bit more off of some pretty bad defense that kind of beat him up for it. But both of them, it's been a tough time. Jays are having a real bad time pitching. They're the fourth worst ERA in baseball.
It's so weird because like the Giants have the same record as the Blue Jays right now, 4-6, and I'm actually feeling really good about the Giants. So records this early on, like I guess that tells you how much you can feel about your team. Like they don't really matter until probably another 3 weeks to a month.
Sure. And it also kind of depends, right? Like I'm also not that down on the Jays.
That's true.
Because I think that like the way that they've lost a lot of these games has been, okay, your fifth starter right now is Bowden Francis, who got absolutely blown the hell up by the Astros and then had a not incredible start today against the Yankees. Young guy. Like he's not going to be that incredible anyway. And Gausman and Bassett, I expect to turn it around. I'm not I'm not sitting here being like, yeah, Kevin Gausman's going to put up a 9.53 ERA over the whole season. No, he's not.
Like, yeah, that makes
that's
sense.
Absurd.
No,
they're also,
Gausman will figure out.
Yeah, Gausman will figure out. They're also still missing, arguably, their two, not even arguably, their two best bullpen arms. Like, you're still without, Jordan Romano, and you're still without Eric Swanson. So you're relying on, right now, Chad Green is kind of the main closer. And you're giving some pretty high leverage situations to, you know, Nate Pearson and then even Trevor Richards. Trevor Richards show that he can handle those, but it's you're stretching your bullpen in some pretty rough ways too. So
I
expect them to
lie.
Bounce back on that. But.
I had no clue Chad Green was still playing baseball.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Jay's got him. Jay's got him this offseason.
Nice.
Or actually, no, technically they got him last year, I think. But
okay.
That was crazy, those Yankees teams where you're able to just bring out Chad Green in like the sixth inning and then you're going to Betances, Robertson, Chapman or whatever. And I was like, oh my God.
Absurd. Yeah, but, they were nasty.
Yeah, the real concern for the Jays though is the offense. It's in a place.
I mean for the Giants, it's like, I guess why I'm not too worried about it is like they got swept by the Dodgers, which I think the Dodgers are just gonna roll in and sweep a lot of good teams this year. Like I think it's something you just kind of have to brace for when you play the Dodgers. And then the Giants, like, I mean, they went 4-3 against the Padres in this first week and a half. And like Saturday, the game I went to, Keaton Wynn, I mean, he gave up that grand slam to Profar, but it was like a bloop ball that got Jung Ho Lee lost in the sun, a walk on a pitch that was in the strike zone, and then like another like single and then a grand slam. Like it was like the like one of the most least deserved like from the pitching perspective. It's just like, well, like
what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Like it's just a tough start. But other than that, Keaton Wynn settled in and pitched. I mean, they shut out the rest of the way and they lost 4-0. Couldn't put any runs on the board. The Giants offense has been rough, like a lot of unluckiness to start the year. Jung Ho Lee, he hits the ball hard a lot at the first baseman and second baseman early on. I think eventually some of that hard contact will start to find some ground. So hopefully for that. But like Chapman, he's only hit in big situations. Like with runners in base, he's actually hitting pretty well. And that's why he has 9 RBIs right now. But other than that, I mean, he has a 640 OPS. So
yeah.
Solaire's starting to hit comfortable. He's actually has the longest home run of the season so far. So that's not something you usually can say about a Giants player. And Michael Conforto, he's all the way back. Like, this is Conforto. Like, his swing is looking nice. He's seeing the ball well. I mean, he's definitely carrying the offense right now. They've moved him to cleanup. Big Conforto fan. I think the Giants lineup's going to settle in a good place. Right now, it's not in the best place, but I'm hoping Luis Matos can force himself back in the bigs. I mean, yeah, Slater combo and Wright was great for a long time, but they have combined one hit right now, and it's rough out there in right field between the Yaz and Slater combo. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Giants season. Where do we want to go next? Oh, another pitcher I wanted to shout out. I'll just jump to it right now. Garrett Crochet, I think that's how you say his name for the White Sox.
Crochet. Oh my! Crochet. Shout out to the long time MLB The Show players. Nightmares. His card was brutal to face.
Yeah, man, he's off to a great start, even on a bad White Sox team. He has 8 innings pitched, 21 strikeouts. His ERA is a 2. Like, he's just going out there, having a solid day pitching and doing his job, which not many people in the White Sox are doing.
Yeah, it's rough out there for the White Sox. Hey, Paul DeYoung's got a couple home runs, though, so.
Paul DeYoung. I forgot they signed Paul DeYoung to be their shortstop.
Oh, man. I never knew it.
Yeah. don't blame you.
I mean, here's just a fun story. Aaron Boone told Alex Verdugo, you could only wear one chain while playing baseball for these New York Yankees.
Man.
And I just think that's hilarious.
Dude, speaking of the Yankees, because I hate how much it's probably true. Dude, Juan Soto fits in with that team so well.
So good.
That dude, like watching, so the Jays played the Yankees for the Yankees home opener in the Bronx. And dude, Soto just, yeah, it works. And I hate it. I hate that it works.
Dude, I'm the noted Yankee fan on the podcast, I guess, by proxy. And I kind of started on this train a while ago, but like this current iteration of the Yankees team.
Oh, it's the most likable they've been team. In like ever.
Like, dude, it's hard to like Giancarlo Stanton is like when he's playing well, like he's just a really fun dude to watch play baseball. Juan Soto is the same way. Aaron Judge, like they're just fun to watch play baseball.
Yep.
And like, I don't know, man. It's just a good team. And Oswaldo Cabrera is off to such a hot start for them. Like, it was kind of like, who's going to be their third baseman? They trade for John Birdie right before the year. It's like, what are they going to do? He's looking really good. Like, Oswaldo
just get IKF Cabrera back.
Dude, the Jays turns out needed him bad.
IKF?
Because they've just had weird injuries already. Like, Bichette's already had time out, and they've had to flex. The outfield's been flexed a ton already. The Jays have already trotted out a bunch of super different lineups.
Dude, even Anthony Volpe, sorry to bounce back to the Yankees, but Volpe, like, he's finally settling down in his second year in the majors. Like, he's off to a hot start. He has a one dot. He has the highest OPS on that team right now.
And yeah.
From what I've seen from, like, John Boy. Yeah, he's stealing the bases. He's out there running. I mean, he only has 3 steals right now, but that's still pretty good this early. But from what I've been seeing from John Boy on Twitter is, like, he's really, like, adopted the right center, like, line drive hitter, just kind of putting in a gap instead of trying to hit bombs, which, like, look around. Look who's on your team. You don't need to be the guy who hits bombs. Like, you have Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, like, you're like what, 6th or 7th that they need a home run? Like, you just need to get on base for those guys to do their job. So I'm really excited for this Yankees team.
And they've been doing all of this without Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. No, that's
they'll
crazy.
Still get Gerrit Cole back. And right now, arguably their best starter is Stroman, who's had a really solid start to the year as well.
Oh man, Stroman he did a better step against Vlad after striking him out 10 the inning, and that was honestly great.
Stroman, I've always been a big Stroman fan.
He's fun to watch
regardless of.
Did you see that, Brian?
I did not. I'm gonna look it up right now.
You know how Vlad, when he hits a home run, he goes to third, he like takes the step back and then hits third. Stroman got Vlad to strike out and the inning, struck him out, and then walking off the mound, he stepped back and then went to the dugout.
Let me see.
That's great.
I do see it.
It's good stuff.
His tongue out looking at his bench. I love that.
I love Stroman. Stroman's awesome. It hurts to see him in pinstripes, but it's fun to just see him pitching well in the first place. This Yankees team, it's going to be a problem. I mean, that's what I was saying at the start of the year. They're a scary group.
I already know my worst take of the year, and I think it's putting the Rays. I want to say I put them in 2nd or 3rd. I don't like that. I'm pointing that out. I don't like that take out of me.
Oh, you think that's too high?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be a top 2 team for sure.
I mean, Noah put them 2nd, so.
Okay, I put them 3rd then?
You put them 3rd.
Okay, I don't hate it.
I believe in the Rays.
I put them 4th. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm feeling 4th, 3rd with the Rays. I don't know why. They're just not giving me the good vibes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to super, super tell. We're 10 games in. It's not super deep in. You haven't seen them play that many teams. You know.
Oh, have you guys heard how the Angels replaced Shohei Ohtani?
No.
Well, that's why they brought in Miguel Sano to be their new DH. He pitched today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He did. So I saw that.
You got to see some Miguel Sano. He went 0.1 inning.
Yeah.
Got the out, and he was done.
Huge. And you know what? Love to see that from him. Jays could use a guy like that.
Also, like, the most casual 83 miles an hour you've ever seen in your life. I mean, he's just so big that he, like, literally, like, flicks it, and it comes off of his hand at, like, 83 miles an hour. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I expected from Miguel Sano, but it was not that.
It wasn't actual effort.
Well, no, because like you look at it and it doesn't look like there's actual effort. Like here, I'll send the clip I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't look like there's any effort in that. Like, yeah. I kind of want to see Sano try to pitch. Like, what's happening if he's out there putting effort in?
Hey, I mean.
Dude, no, yeah. I remember Mitch Moreland, he was a closer in college, and one time he came out and pitched, and he was throwing like 93 with the curveball. It was awesome.
Yeah, that. No, that's amazing. I think Crawford was sitting at like 87 when he got a pitch the one time. It's always fun to see those guys.
People always seem to forget, like, a lot of these dudes, like, regardless of what position they play now, like, have probably
everything growing up.
Yeah, they played everything. Yeah. They are that elite.
Yeah.
They are the best of the best. They played everywhere.
It's kind of like the football thing. Like, you talk to all the wide receivers and running backs, mm-hmm. like, oh, what'd you play in high school? Oh, I was the team's quarterback. Yeah. It's just like most of these guys had pitched a lot growing up because they're just probably the best athlete on their team.
You put
until
them on,
they got to minors.
Yeah. You are the best athlete. You got put into the position that just held the ball the most.
Yeah.
That's where they had the most value. Who's a team we have not talked about? The Royals have had a good start to the year. Brady Singer.
Bobby Witt. Big fan. MVP start.
Absolutely.
No, Brady Singer having a bounce back year too. Huge. I love it. I think we talked about that a little bit. But like, me especially, I was really high on him last year coming out of the World Baseball Classic because I just kind of got all very hyped up about it.
Yeah.
And he had a rough year last year, and it looks like he's settling down.
I was super hot about this rotation. I was super hot, especially about bringing in guys like Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. They both started really well. I'm liking the Royals. I'm still
I was watching the Royals the other day.
This first place team, baby.
Waka's changeup is fun to watch.
Yeah,
I'll say that. Yeah.
Dude, you know who's trippy to watch pitch? Matt Waldron on the Padres, the knuckleballer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's the only knuckleballer in baseball right now, but he also has like a 93 mile per hour fastball that he like throws with some sink. So it's pretty funky. Like, he pitched against the Giants today. The Giants were able to pull out a win because Ha-Seong Kim could not hold on to the ball. It was like a runner on Jorge Soler was on first. Ground ball to first, tagged his base, threw over to Ha-Seong Kim, and he stuck it out to hit Soler. And Soler's just such a massive human. The ball went flying. Like, Soler didn't throw his hand at anything. He was just running to the base.
Guy to maybe look out for, who, funny enough, a trivia question that we never ended up doing our end of season trivia. But guy to look out for on the Hot Pirates if he ever gets called back up, because he played a little bit of Major League last year. He's the one dude in the league who throws a screwball is Brent Honeywell. Honeywell threw it a lot last year. So yeah. That's another one if you want a fun pitcher to watch of like a pitch that you just never see in baseball anymore. Brent Honeywell. Yeah, currently in the Pittsburgh minor leagues. He was on the White Sox and Padres last year.
But, interesting.
Not a fluke pitch either. It is a part of his arsenal. Like,
that's cool.
But he was the only one who threw one.
Remember when George Kirby just threw a knuckleball last year?
It was so good.
It was incredible. Yeah. It was just a really good one.
Like, I don't know why you don't, like, if you're George Kirby and you can throw it, like, why don't you throw it like five times a game? Just something. Like, put it in a batter's mind that it might come out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I feel like that's something that a lot of pitchers probably could do is,
yeah,
I understand both arguments, right? Of like mastering the typical four or five pitch arsenal.
It's a lot of three pitch arsenals out of starting
anymore,
pitchers now too.
Yeah. Anymore. It is a lot of three pitch. It used to be always like five, almost every starter had five.
They definitely had four, and sometimes the fifth was like not always confident in, but I can throw it if need be.
But it is surprising that you don't see as many sort of pitch arsenal savant guys like a Yu Darvish or a Chris Bassett who throw
Yu
like
Darvish
nine.
Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
They throw some stupid number of pitches.
I mean, I think
granted, debatably, some of them are the same pitch, but you know.
I mean, I think a big thing that leads to it now is like, you really only, as long as you have pitches that go different directions. So like a very common mix you see now is like a sinker, a slider, and a change.
Yeah.
Or a curveball, a slider, curveball. Or you even see sweeper and slider a lot. Sweeper being the more like horizontal of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants have someone who throws sinker, slider, splitter. Actually, they have two guys, Keaton Wynn and Jordan Hicks, have both been finding a lot of success with that. Jordan Hicks is another pitcher we haven't highlighted. Dude, he is settling in nicely.
He's making the starter. He's making the starter move look pretty, I mean, pretty good.
Dude, against the Padres on Friday, he went seven innings pitch. He only had like four strikeouts, five strikeouts. Just, I mean, I was at the game. It was just a lot of ground balls. He just got the sinker, slider. And like, he usually, like the first game he sat around 94 with a sinker. And then on Friday, he was sitting like 93 with a sinker. But still, every now and then, he'd dial it up and throw like a 99 sinker.
Hicks is also the guy, though, who, and I'm almost certain the splits are like this. Hicks is definitely the dude who, he'll sit that like low 90s, and then with a runner on, high 90s. Like, that dude, pure like reliever energy of, I can't believe I let somebody get on base. I'm throwing a lot harder now.
I haven't paid attention enough for that. Like, I'll definitely look out for that on his next start, because that is interesting. But Hicks is looking like a stud, which I don't know. I'm excited.
Working out well.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if they find a way to the playoffs, he's just going to go back to the bullpen.
Yeah.
And that's just
terrifying again.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do we have anything else we want to talk about for this week?
Let's see. I mean,
the city of the Saves are still pathetic.
Glancing at other.
Mookie Betts is amazing.
Mookie Betts is an absurdly good baseball player. The Texas Rangers are out there doing it.
Fernando Tatis is wearing Steph Curry cleats. And he said it's because he's trying to do in San Diego what Curry's done in with the Golden State Warriors, kind of create a new.
Huge.
It's kind of dope. And he has like an actual pair signed by Curry, like what Curry writes on them before game day. It looks really, it's dope.
That's dope.
Speaking of Steph Curry and the Warriors, I was watching the Braves versus Diamondbacks yesterday. Max Fried, when he got blown up, the Braves won 9-8 in just a wild game where they trailed 6-0 and 8-2. And the whole time I was watching it, it was just like, you know, those mid-2010s Warriors teams where they could be down 20-30 and you're like,
you know, it's coming.
Yeah, you know what's coming. It's just like, it's the Braves are crazy. And Kalanick's off to a great start, too. So it's just like, absurd. It is absolute 1-9. I think, I think RCL needs more baseball and doubles. But yeah, it's just been crazy for Atlanta.
Has there been a more obvious, like, comeback player of the year than Kalanick was coming into this year?
Yeah.
You could have
penciled that in the moment the Braves signed him.
Traded for him, right?
Well, yeah,
I think they traded for him, but still, it's just insane. Like, oh man, dude, the Braves are, and you really are right about that. Like, when the Warriors were on the run with Curry, the Curry that's hilarious. Their mascot's just the food item, Satchel Curry. Okay, I'm getting way off track. Where was I going with that? Okay, yeah, but like. Even when they have the 30-point lead on Curry, you were still like, our starters are still playing. Like, we're not going. Because before that, you'd oftentimes see in basketball them just put the bench unit in and be like, okay, we're just going to run off the clock and we're chilling. But the Warriors would come back, and the Braves feel that way. Like, you can't let up at all. You can't just put your bottom bullpen arm in because you're like, oh, we have a 6-run lead. You put your bottom bullpen arm in, the Braves will hit them. And I don't know, the Braves are, they look like a different kind of beast.
Yeah, I mean, whole team clicking for sure, and no signs of stopping. Just an insane roster.
Yeah.
Who just has Chris Sale as well, by the way, who's also just like,
who's doing been great. Solid, not incredible, but really solid. Two really solid starts that you'll definitely take from your 4-5 starter.
The only risk right now for him is that Spencer Strider is potentially out. So,
But like, They have a Bryce Elder in AAA.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
no, yeah, no. They've got like great depth. They will be fine. It's you're just losing a true ace talent for a four rotation talent.
Yeah.
Which is we take those. Most people don't get that. Most people, if you lose your ace level talent, you get a minor leaguer.
And you're mixing in some bullpen games.
Yeah. It's not good. You don't get another starter quality.
Speaking of rehab starts, Alec Manoah made one.
Look,
we had to bring it up.
All right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Alec Manoah. Yeah. He made a single A start. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
It doesn't.
Five hits.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine that he walked home a run on the first four batters of the game.
No.
He walked the first four batters he faced. Yeah.
This is his stat line. He went 1.2 innings pitched, gave up five hits.
I knew the stat line. I didn't know the first four batters.
He walked the first four batters he faced.
That's lit. Four walks. Only walked four batters. Didn't walk anyone.
Yeah, he didn't walk anybody else after that, but he did give up a lot of hits. He did still
give up
a lot of
home
damage.
Run. He had a solid 32-40 ERA.
It's it is a baffling fall off. Like,
yeah,
this is a dude who was too. This is a dude who was like had a Cy Young level season. And then just like didn't drop off to mediocre, dropped off to straight up like atrocious.
It almost feels like it has to be a mental thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Like the talent's obviously there. We've seen it.
Yeah.
And you don't just lose that much talent.
It's
maybe
sucks.
The Monstars got him.
Dude, I don't know. It's
straight up.
Just wait up. The Monstars are coming. Who's next?
Yeah. It's bad. It is a incredibly bad fall off. And it sucks because dude had absurd talent. And I don't know. We'll see.
And before we wrap up this pod, because I feel like this might be the last thing we talk about, we need to congratulate Steven Strasburg on a fantastic career. He has officially retired.
Yeah.
He...
Just a formality at this point, but yeah.
Yeah, but like 2019, Steven Strasburg retiring is pretty crazy to me because like the first two prospects, non-Giant prospects I really remember hearing about, it was Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg. When they were coming up, everybody was like buzzing about them. Like these two guys were stars in the making. And I mean, they both, obviously Bryce Harper's still doing it at a high level. Strasburg, I don't know what he did to win that World Series, but he never recovered. But he had a fantastic 2019 World Series. Just the entire playoff run. I mean, it was absolutely elite. I mean, it's one of the better pitching performances. I'd put it up there with Bumgarner personally, and that's me saying a lot because Bumgarner's 2014 run was insane.
Well, and perhaps the most electric major league starting pitching debut ever. The MLB Vault just today posted like a hour and a half condensed version of that debut if you're wanting to get some Steven Strasburg in your life. I wasn't watching it live, but I remember just hearing all the hype and the buzz and seeing it, and it was just a crazy debut for Strasburg.
He was good the day he showed up. He never really had that like, oh, give him some time. Like he was pretty electric right away. And if you haven't watched Steven Strasburg pitch before, I highly recommend watching some of his old highlights. And he was a lot of fun to watch when he was at his best.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else.
Okay.
It's another week coming up, a good old baseball.
Some more baseball. Oh, do we want to highlight some upcoming games? Let's see what's happening this week.
Might as well. Yeah, there's a couple good ones.
Well, Thursday, A's versus Mets, and it's weather education day at the ballpark.
Hey, the A's are doing $2 Wednesdays again. $2 Wednesdays, $1 hot dogs.
Hell yeah.
I might see if I put down a hot dog at any.
I'd say a couple of good series coming up in my mind. Cubs are coming to San Diego. That'll be a good one. We'll be interesting to see that one. And
Phillies, Cards.
No, I mean, Mets, Sox, Orioles.
Sox, yeah. Okay. Oh, Blake Snell making his first start with the Giants tomorrow against the Nationals.
Yes. Again, I'm pretty Steven pumped Strasburg.
About
that.
Yeah. Ooh. Let's see.
Hey.
Oh, what about the Phillies versus the Pirates? The two P teams going
Ooh,
at.
We get to see the poop scoreboard.
Oh yeah, we get to see the poop
scoreboard.
That is the best scoreboard in baseball.
It's the poop scoreboard. we get to see the boob scoreboard in Baltimore and Boston. Woo!
Wow, what a week.
What a week. Yo. It doesn't get any better than this.
I mean, that is pretty much the highlights. I mean, I guess Yankees guards. I mean, those two teams are playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, Rangers, Astros again.
Hey, Rangers, Astros, that'll be good.
Astros, Royals.
Padres, Dodgers.
Okay.
Astros, Royals is a
I like
wild
the Royals. Hey, all right. All right there.
I mean, to be fair, hey, Royals now are better than the Astros right now.
Yeah.
Maybe dare you. We shouldn't be mentioning the Astros at all because they've won 3 games.
Yeah, they're trash, actually.
Okay. Well, I think those are going to be the games to watch for this week. And we'll see you guys next week to talk about what happened.
Indeed.
With that, I'll talk to you guys later. Goodbye.